Philippians chapter 1 this morning. I'm going to begin reading. If you would stand with me in verse 6. I'm going to read a few verses here, so be patient. I'll promise not to leave you standing as long as I have to stand. Okay? Verse 6, Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, notice it says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. My bonds, meaning that the Apostle Paul is bound in prison while writing this epistle. Verse 14, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Remember what he said there in verse 18. Christ is preached. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Verse 21, for to me, the Apostle Paul is speaking personally, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to take charge of your people's hearts, minds, that we would surrender all to your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that everyone would be able to hear clearly, that I would speak clearly, that you would speak through me. Please, God, we need you this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach a message to you this morning, and I'll give you the title here in a minute. But we're going to continue on from Sunday school, and if you weren't here, you'll be able to follow it. But I want you to understand the Apostle Paul's heart, even in prison, even in bonds. He said in verse 6, where I began to read, that he was confident, he knew, he had no doubt that Jesus Christ, who had begun a good work in him, would continue to perform it, even in prison, even in his bonds. And he goes on, and he's just loving on the people there. And again, in verse 8, he said, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. He says in verse 13 that his bonds were bonds in Christ. He said, verse 15, some indeed preach Christ. He talks about verse 16, one preaching Christ. Verse 18, Christ is preached. Verse 19, I know this, that through this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20 and 21, he says, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, nothing I shall be ashamed. He's in prison. He's bound in prison because the Bible says here that he knows not ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. And in verse 21, he makes a statement, for to me to live is Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs and other places that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Many times when you need to make a decision, you need to ask counsel of someone, as I mentioned in Sunday school, who has already been there. Someone who has already been proven. Someone who you can trust. This morning I took this passage of scripture. I want to show you, and I'm going to do a little bit here, something a little bit different than your typical message. But I want to ask the Apostle Paul this morning some questions. I want to interview the man named Paul. If you will, use your sanctified imagination. And the Apostle Paul is sitting here on this chair. He's not being interrogated. I am a Christian. Are you saved this morning?
Yeah, man. Amen.
I am saved this morning. I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been cleansed by His blood. Though my sins were as scarlet, they are now white as snow. Amen. I'm born again, not because I deserved it, but because Jesus died for me. While I was yet sinful, wicked, defiled, broken, battered, bruised, beaten, and left for dead, Jesus died for me. But now, I live for Him. Now, you are to live for Him. Now, we all are to live for Jesus. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to live a life that glorifies God. We are to live a life in the footsteps of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, however, has not left us alone in this life. Amen. Hallelujah. God has not left us on our own to figure out how to make it. What He has done is given us very many, all the things that we need that pertain to life and godliness, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. All things have been given to you and to me. There is nothing that God has left out that we would need in order to live a faithful life, serving faithfully our Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, what I want to do is I would like to seek some counsel from a man who's been there. I'm going to go to the Word of God, of course, but I'm going to use the man, Paul the Apostle, and I'm going to interview him. I'm going to ask him some questions that I'm sure have crossed your mind. I'm going to ask him some questions so that I can get some counsel from a man who's been there. And I hope that you'll pay attention this morning. It's going to help us all if we'll listen to the answers of the man named Paul. I'd like to start off asking Paul the Apostle, Paul, I understand that years ago you were a Jew, a Pharisee. As a matter of fact, I understand that you were personally responsible for murdering Christians. Paul, what is it that changed your life so dramatically? The man sits quietly and he says two words. Just Jesus.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Well, Paul, I heard that it was a dramatic scene. I've read about it. I've heard you give testimony about you were on your way to Damascus and there was a bright and glorious light that shone from heaven and blinded you and knocked you on your face on the ground. What was that light? What was that power that got your attention so dramatically, so immensely overcame you that day? What was that light from heaven? Just Jesus.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Well, Paul, you can't be serious. What about the fact that we went from murdering people to taking them, hailing them, throwing them into prison, having them beaten and tortured, having them killed and buried alive and murdered. How is it that you came? So the Bible says in your own words, you said that now old things are passed away and all things are become new. How is it that a person like you, Paul, so far from God, so far from Jesus Christ, how is it that you can be such a different person today? How is it that you can be so changed? There's got to be more, Paul. Please help me understand. It's just
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
But Paul, I've also heard that after you got saved, you became a new man. You began to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, I heard that you began to preach right there in Damascus where you got saved. How is it that when you began to preach and then the people there in Damascus even began to hate you and scoff and scorn, and the disciples had to get you out of the city quickly? How is it that you began preaching so quickly? How is it that you didn't need a soul winning course? How is it that you didn't need to go to church for 5 years before you became a soul winner, Paul? How is it that as soon as you got saved that you began telling other people about your salvation and the gospel? What in the world it was it that made you so different, so bold as a witness, Paul? Tell us, we need some counsel today.
Oh.
It's just Jesus.
Yeah,
Paul, I heard that you went into the Gentile nations, into Asia. Paul, I heard that they began to beat you, stone you, leave you for dead. I heard that you suffered shipwreck. I heard that you suffered hunger. I heard that you suffered loneliness. As a matter of fact, Paul, I heard that the men who used to stand with you, the men who used to be there by your side, I heard you say in your own words that they have all forsaken you. How is it, Paul, that you kept going? And the man of God sits there in his frail body and he says two words. Just
Amen.
Jesus. Paul, I heard that you started churches. I heard that you went into Athens, Greece, where there were gods on every street corner. There were idols all around you. There were churches preaching all kinds of weird stuff all around you. I heard that you went into that city and you started a church. I heard you went into Corinth, a tremendously wicked, ungodly city where there were prostitutes even in the temple in the name of religion. Paul, how is it that you started those churches? How is it that you got it done, Paul? Young man, young Christian, just
Amen.
Jesus.
Right.
But Paul, there has to be more to it. There has to be something that you're not telling us. There has to be maybe some way that you were able to pick yourself up and keep going. I mean, after all, I heard that the people that you loved turned their back on you. You even told us that no man careth for the things of Jesus, but they all care for themselves. And I remember that John Mark left you and Demas forsook you. And I remember that Christians even walked away from you and turned their backs on you, Paul. I heard that they threw you into prison. I heard that they kept on. Paul, how is it? Please tell me, what was it that motivated you to keep going? What was it that motivated you to be faithful? There's no other answer. Just Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It was Jesus that showed up on the road to Damascus. It was Jesus that proved to me His power. It was Jesus that loved me enough to give His life a ransom for my soul. It was Jesus who gave His blood.
Amen.
The price for my redemption. The only price that God would accept, the perfect, undefiled, unblemished blood of a holy lamb. It was Jesus.
Amen.
But Paul, what motivates you to sing praises unto God in jail, in prison? It's just Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Paul, how can you be so loving and kind to people? I heard you say one time that you would very gladly spend and be spent. And even though you loved more abundantly, the people loved you less and less. What was on your mind, Paul, at those times? It was just
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Paul, I heard that you made some mistakes. I heard that you weren't always exactly who you were supposed to be. Now I'm going to ask your hard one, Paul. Weren't you ashamed of yourself? Didn't you realize that you probably cast disgrace on the name of Jesus? Didn't you realize that you probably messed up, Paul? That you did mess up? Don't you think that you should have just given up? How do you think you can keep going knowing that you've messed up like that? The feeble old man has nothing else to say, church. Just Jesus. He's my judge. He's my standard. He's forgiven me. He still loves me. He knew when he saved me that he got a pile of dirt. He knows my frame. He knows everything about me. He knew I was going to mess up. And he told me if I would confess my sin,
amen,
that because of Jesus, he was faithful, he was just, and he would forgive me,
amen,
and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's just Jesus.
Amen.
But Paul, there has to be more. I read over in Philippians chapter 2 where you said that you suffered the loss of all things. I read that you suffered the loss of all things, and you even said that you counted them as dung. How in the world could you lose your house? You lost your family. You lost your loved ones. You lost your comforts. You lost your house, your home. You lost your, many times you lost your food. You lost your friends. Paul, how is it that you could continue? What is it that motivated you? And the man of God simply repeats himself and he says, it's just Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I don't need anything else.
Amen.
I don't need anybody else. I know that Jesus has begun a good work in me and that he's going to perform it until he takes me home.
Yeah.
I'm confident. I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know Jesus. There's got to be a different method, Paul. No, son. No, brother. It's just Jesus.
Amen.
Paul, let me ask you, preacher to preacher, I know you started churches. I know you preached your heart out to people. You told us that many tears, many temptations, many trials, many heartaches, fears without, fears within. What did you tell them, Paul? What did you tell them when they came to you with problems? What did you tell them when they came to you with unanswered questions that you didn't have the answer for, Paul? What did you tell them? I need to know. The frosty-haired preacher, full of furrows down his back, scars all over his body, tear-stained eyes, looks up and said, young man, you tell them it's about Jesus.
Amen.
But you don't understand, Paul. What do they do with, what do they do? He said they don't do anything. They have to understand it's just Jesus. It's just the gospel that has changed their life. There's no, well, Paul, let me ask you something. You don't understand. See, you told Timothy that evil seducers would wax worse and worse. That days would get evil and perilous times shall come in the last days, Paul. You told Timothy that. And boy, let me tell you, they're here. What's happening now in our country is giving new meaning to men being lovers of their own selves.
Amen.
Paul, what do you do? What do you preach then, Paul? What do you tell your church then? What do you tell the people house to house? You said that you preach publicly and house to house, Paul. What do you tell them now in the midst of such wickedness and evil? And the man of God simply says, just Jesus. It's just Jesus. There's no new method. There's no new message. It's just Jesus. Paul, you're about to die. You made it very plain in other portions of Scripture that you fought a good fight. What was it that kept the fire in your heart alive? Just Jesus.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Paul, what was it? You said you finished your course. What was it that helped you finish? What was it? It's nothing. It's nothing new. It's nothing more. It's nothing less. It's just Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Paul, you said you kept the faith. You didn't stray. You didn't go to the left hand nor to the right. You didn't change the Bible. You didn't change the songs. You didn't change the message. You didn't change the style. You didn't let anything deter you. Paul, you kept the faith. And he stands up and he says, young man, listen to me. Young church, listen to me. Young Christian, listen to me. It's just Jesus.
Amen.
It's just Jesus. For to me, to live, is Christ. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Christ is preached. The one in pretense, the one in sincerity, but Christ is preached. How can I be? What should I tell the young man whose parents aren't in church with him, Paul? What should he focus on to stay faithful? Just Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, Paul, I think I get the picture. I get the idea now. In my darkest day, I didn't remember one thing. Jesus. In my greatest victories, I need to remember who got me there. It's just Jesus. It needs to be my first choice. It needs to be my last choice.
Amen.
And he needs to be every choice in between. Just Jesus.
Amen.
Not my last resort. Not what I fall on when I can't find anything else. But he is all and all to me. It's just Jesus. The man of God used the word just Jesus over and over again. Not by accident.
Amen.
But on purpose, because what he's saying to you and to me is that there's nothing else that we need to add to Jesus.
Amen.
Just Jesus. There's nothing else that we need to add. We don't need to add Jesus plus anything. We don't need to add Jesus plus anybody. He said more than once, the Apostle Paul said, all men have forsaken me. They've departed. We don't need to add another person. We don't need to add another person's affection, another person's love or desires. We love that. We cherish it. We appreciate it. But when the day is over, when I lay my head on the pillow, the man of God said, or on the rock, it's just Jesus that gets me up the next day. It's just Jesus that keeps me going the next day. It's just Jesus that keeps me telling the world about the saving grace of God. It's just Jesus that helps me stand when nobody was stand with me. It's just Jesus that helps me go to church when mom and dad aren't there. It's just Jesus that helps me dress and look like a godly person when nobody else cares. It's just Jesus that helps me stand when the world is falling everywhere around me. It's just Jesus. It's nothing else that I need. It's just Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It's just Jesus. We don't need to add anything.
That's right.
But we dare not take anything away either.
Amen.
It's just Jesus. In your bonds, it's just Jesus. In your financial questions that you can't seem to answer, it's just Jesus.
Amen.
When it's time to make a decision, who do you turn to? Just Jesus.
Right.
When you need to find the truth, where do you look? Just Jesus. You don't need anything else, church. I don't need anything else. It's just Jesus. He's worthy. He deserves it.
Amen.
He's our Redeemer.
Amen.
Our Savior.
Amen.
Our Sustainer. He is all. He's everything to me. The man of God died. He lost his head. They took his head off. As he lay down on the chopping block one last time, you look at him and you say, Paul, is there anything you want to say? One last word before you breathe your last breath. Just Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Who can thrill the heart like Jesus? My, His presence so divine. Love so tender and so precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. How you gonna make it, church?
Amen.
We all have attacks, burdens, trials. We all have rebellion. Our own flesh we're fighting. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious grace.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would stir our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to stop looking to someone else, to something else. But, oh God, to turn our hearts, our eyes, our minds to Jesus. Oh God, how can a sinner such as I ever hope to be faithful to a Savior such as He? Thank You for Jesus. Lord, I pray for the hearts that are hard, that the tender, loving care of Jesus would break them into pieces. I pray, God, for the hearts that are broken, that the tender grace of Jesus would heal them today. I pray, God, for the questions that are yet to be answered, that we would look to Jesus for our strength, our faith, our patience. Oh God, I pray for the trials, that we would understand that the only way to make it is just Jesus. God, may He be preeminent in our hearts and our minds. May He stay preeminent in our church, in our homes. Lord, He's the reason. He is the reason we can keep going. He's the reason we can keep standing. He's the reason we can serve You all the days of our lives. It's just Jesus. He's all we need. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.